Well, good evening. It's good to be back at 6:30. For those who don't know me, I'm David Bruce. I normally worship at the 11 a.m. family service, and every so often I get to come to 6:30, which is really good. Well, it's January, and we're preaching through the Psalms again, and tonight we're looking at Psalm 108. The Psalms are great. Over and over again, they tell us, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Now, I thought about doing a song for you. My family didn't think that was a good idea. Looks of shock and horror. In fact, my youngest daughter kindly told me, you're a terrible singer, Dad. I have, however, done a couple of public performances in my life. Neither one I intended to. The first was actually at my wedding reception. My wife, or wife-to-be, was having a hen's night a couple of nights before the wedding. All the ladies and girls had organised all sorts of elaborate things. For the guys, my brothers, my dad, a couple of friends, we were going to go out for dinner. And that was a quiet night. Well, I got there and I found out that it was a bit better organised than I had expected, a bit bigger than I had expected. And after tea, we got to do karaoke. Now, that was a lot of fun, lots of fairly awful singing from everyone involved. We weren't the only ones there that were singing, and we certainly weren't the worst who were there, but it was a great time. And then during his speech, my best man announced that he had a tape from the evening, and he subjected our guests to me singing Hopelessly Devoted to You from Greece. So anyway, I think I actually have that tape at home somewhere, but it doesn't come out very often. Now, the other time I gave a solo performance was at our previous church back in Canberra. Service leaders normally led the singing as well. Now, I couldn't do that, so I always made sure there was a couple of strong singers to lead the singing, and I'd just stand back from the lectern so that the mic didn't pick my singing up. That worked well most weeks. We had a creche room that was outside the main auditorium. It was really good. The parents could take their young kids there. They'd play. They'd be out of the way and not making a huge racket. However, it shut the parents off from the service. So our sound guys one week decided they'd put a speaker in there so that the people could hear the service. They set it up. Now, rather than piping everything through, though, they just put the lectern mic through, which meant that every time we sang a song, all they heard was me, even though I was back from the microphone. I'm told they spend the whole service in hysterics. Very encouraging. So given that, when we're singing, as we've just done, do I sing? Well, the answer is yes, I do. Why do I sing? Well, firstly, I sing because the Bible tells me to, over and over again. And the second reason I sing is because it's actually a natural response to God and to what he's done. The Bible's full of commands to sing, particularly that line I use, sing a new song to God. It's all through the Psalms, it's in the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, just to name three. And it's a natural reaction to God's activity. Most of the Psalms are David's response to something God has done. God acts, David sings a song. After the Israelites were saved through the Red Sea, Miriam sang a song of celebration. The beginning of Luke, Mary has just been given the news about a new baby coming. She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth and she sings a song celebrating what God is doing through her and through Elizabeth. Even for Paul and Silas in Acts 16, they were thrown into prison. What did they do? They spent the night praying and singing hymns. So songs are something that we do naturally. God's designed us to sing in response to what he has done. In fact, in Deuteronomy, just as the Israelites were about to enter the promised land, God gave Moses a song that he was to teach the Israelites. The song reminded them not only of all the things that God had done to get them out of Egypt and to the promised land, but it also reminded them of the consequences of not staying faithful to him. What would happen if they went astray? So we have songs everywhere, and we're supposed to sing. If you look at the psalm we had today, Psalm 108, it actually teaches us one of the most important reasons why we sing and why we sing to God. For verse 1, my heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. or from the New Living Translation, "My heart is confident in you, O God. No wonder I can sing your praises with all my heart." In fact, I looked at the Amplified Version. It sort of has a combination of those. "O God, my heart is steadfast with confident faith. I will sing praises even with my soul." And so why do we sing? Well, we sing from our heart, and we sing because we're confident in God. And if we want to know what the psalmist is confident in, we go down to verse 4. "For your unfailing love is higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." Or, again, another translation, "Your loving kindness is great and higher than the heavens. Your truth reaches to the skies." So we're confident in God's unfailing love, his unfailing kindness. We're confident in his faithfulness, which goes on forever. And so as a response to that, we sing. What does the psalmist say back in verses 2 and 3? "Wake up, lyre and harp, I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the peoples. I'll sing your praises among the nations." So we're supposed to sing loudly enough to wake the dawn. That's pretty emphatic. And we sing so that everyone knows about this, God's people and all the nations. Now, if we're singing because we're confident in God, let's have a little look at a bit more of what we have to be confident in. We go down to verses 6 and 7. "Now rescue your beloved people, answer and save us by your power. God has promised this by his holiness. I will divide up Shechem with joy, I will measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh too. Ephraim, my helmet, will produce my warriors, and Judah, my scepter, will produce my kings." Really great stuff. We'll keep going. "But Moab, my washbasin, will become my servant, and I will wipe my feet on Edom, and shout in triumph over Philistia. Who will bring me into the fortified city? Who will bring me victory over Edom? Have you rejected us, O God? Will you no longer march with our armies? Oh, please help us against our enemies, for all human help is useless. With God's help we will do mighty things, for he will trample down our foes." So what's the psalmist talking about? We have a great long list of Old Testament place names. Well, he starts by quoting God's promise to his people. He's talking about promises. And there's actually two parts here. The first bit, God has promised to deliver Shechem, Succoth, Gilead, Manasseh, Ephraim and Judah. If you look up your maps of Old Testament Israel, they're part of the promised land. 500 or so years before, Joshua had led the people into the promised land. They divided it up. These are parts of the promised land that God delivered. So this part is a promise that God has kept. And that's what's giving the psalmist confidence that God will keep his promises. The next bit, he talks about Moab, Edom and Philistia. Well, they're close neighbours. They were enemies. And all through history, the Israelites had trouble with them. So this is a cry for the Israelites to be able to conquer Moab, Edom and Philistia, to conquer their enemies. Now, God had promised that if the Israelites were faithful to him, he would overcome their enemies. Every so often, they were unfaithful and the enemies got the upper hand. But here the psalmist is saying, we need to rely on you, God. We can't do it. Human help is useless. It's up to you. So this was a promise that would be kept, one that David was confident he would keep. And he was confident because of the other promises that God had already delivered on. So if we are to sing confident in God and the promises he keeps, what do we have to be confident in? What promises he kept for us? What promises are we confident he will keep? Well, we can go back to one simple thing that we usually say on Sunday in the communion services. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. There's some promises. The first bit, Christ's birth, his death and resurrection, were promises God kept. And they're promises that should be giving us confidence. His coming again is a promise that we can be confident he will keep. I went to the writer of the Hebrews because there's a couple of times there where he tells us to approach the throne of grace with confidence to receive grace and mercy. In chapter 10, he said this: "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter, that is, with confidence, heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." So we can be confident in our relationship with God because of what Jesus has done for us. We've been forgiven, we've been restored in relationship. That's certainly something to be able to sing about. And so we should sing those things with confidence. Now, I did want to finish by talking about people who don't sing in church. You ever noticed occasionally there's someone who's not singing along? Some of you might be that person, or maybe you've been that person. There are a couple of reasons people don't sing in church. The first and simplest is it's a new song. Might not be new to us, but it might be new to someone else. It's a bit hard to sing along if you're not familiar with the song. We can give people a pass on that if it's something they don't know. What about the people like me who know that they really don't have a great voice? Maybe they're not singing because they're a bit embarrassed about their voice, or maybe they don't want to spoil it for the rest of us. Do we give those people a pass for not singing? Well, no, we don't. It's actually not a valid reason not to sing. Remember back in verse 1, we had to sing from the heart. I attended a workshop on worship a few years ago. Bit of a tongue twister there. The workshop leader took us through all aspects of worship, but we spent a fair bit of time about music and singing. And she related to us a dream she'd had back when she was at a critical time in her life. God gave her this dream to help her understand what's going on when we're singing in church. In the dream, she came in through the back doors of a church and heard the congregation singing, and it was the most beautiful singing she had ever heard. And she walked around the congregation and started to come to the front, and as she looked back, what she noticed was rather odd. Nobody had mouths on their faces. And then she realised the mouths were down on people's hearts. The singing she was hearing was the song of their heart. And that's what God hears when we sing. And that's why we don't have to worry that our voice is a bit shaky. That's why we don't have to worry that we really can't sing in tune. God isn't worried about the noise we're making. He's worried about the song of our hearts. Now, as a matter of reassurance for you, I can tell you that the combined efforts of what we sing is much better than what we might do individually. I've been sitting out there for a lot of years. I've sat next to people who are as bad as me at singing. I've sat near a few people who are significantly worse than me at singing. But I've stood out the front quite a bit too. When you're at the front, you get the full effect of what everyone's doing, and it is amazing. It really is. The difference from when you're there and you can hear a few people around you and someone's in tune and someone's not, to being out here and getting the full combined impact. It doesn't spoil it for the rest of you who can't sing in tune. When you are hearing people of God worship, it is a fabulous thing. If you doubt me, take the opportunity sometime to actually come out the front. You can sort of discreetly sneak up the side there or maybe around over here, but just get outside of being in the congregation and actually listen to it. I invited family church this morning. I said, come out and sit on one of the chairs if you're bold and just sit there and listen. It's pretty amazing. One of the things we used to do at my church in Canberra, just about every week, bit like what we did at the end of our second song. We'd pick a couple of songs that people knew well, and as we got towards the end, usually the last verse, the musicians would drop out and we'd just leave the congregation singing. wasn't done as a trick or a gimmick. It was done so that the congregation could hear the worship that they were providing, the worship they were giving. And it's a really great way to do things. A little bit of accompaniment, but it's just the voices raised to God in worship. So basically, if you're worried about your voice, don't. Please just sing along. Now, there'll be some among us, perhaps, who don't sing because they can't. Can't sing from the heart because the heart's injured. There's some hurt in the past. Maybe there's some sin that's still troubling. Maybe they just don't believe. Well, if you're not singing because you don't believe, then we want you to. Please come for prayer. And if you know someone who's coming, who's not believing but wants to, please just keep praying for them. And if there's someone who needs healing, please get prayer. God wants to heal you. It's actually his most urgent need is to get us right. That's why Jesus came and died, to make us right with him, to heal our hearts so that we could join that congregation. So again, if you're someone who doesn't sing because you think you can't be part of it, come and listen from the front. It's quite spectacular sometimes. Now, I said I wasn't going to sing for you, but I would like to finish with another psalm. So I'm going to read to you Psalm 96. This is from the New Living Testament translation. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he has done. Great is the Lord, he is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty surround him, the strength and beauty fill his sanctuary. O nations of the world, recognise the Lord. Recognise that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offerings and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendour. Let all the earth tremble before him. Tell all the nations, the Lord reigns. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. He will judge all peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with his truth. And so as we sing, let's join in with all creation to sing his praise, to sing from the heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you call us to sing your praise. We thank you that we can be confident in you, confident of your love and your faithfulness, confident in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And as we sing, Lord, we just pray that we will sing from the heart and sing full of enthusiasm to worship you. And for those, Lord, who have some hurt that is preventing them from truly singing to you from the heart, we pray for your healing and for your peace. We just pray that you would bring them to you and restore them so that they will be able to sing, join in the praise of the whole creation for what you have done and who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen.